episode of Ice Pilots NWT. A brand new engine gushes oil.
We're about half a gallon in 3 minutes.
Grounding a major charter.
Hey, Mike.
This is bullshit.
Buffalo leads a pack of athletes to the Arctic Winter Games.
It's hard to see.
And Devin tries to get home running on empty.
Well, you.
I wish that I could fly into the sky, so very high, to anywhere I please. Oh, oh, oh yeah! I want to get away. I want to get away. I want to get away. I want to get away.
A bright, cold morning in the Northwest Territories. And a Buffalo Airways C-46 gets set for takeoff.
Wait a second. You want to go?
It's going on an ambitious 2-day cargo haul to the high Arctic.
You'll have power before 5-0-8, run complete, ready for takeoff.
Clear takeoff runway 15.
Known by its registration letters, TXW, it's one of the senior citizens of Buffalo's fleet. But this 65-year-old plane isn't over the hill. It boasts a newly overhauled Wright engine.
TXW is running really good. It had a new engine on it, and a long haul is good for a new engine. It lets everything break in really nice.
All right, ready? Want to go?
The new engine has had a brief test flight, but that's nothing like a long-haul trip to the far north. Buffalo's director of maintenance, Rod McBrien, has done hundreds of new engine installations.
99% of the time, the engine runs fine. We rarely had a problem with the C-46 engines when they were new.
Rod's younger brother, Mikey, Buffalo's general manager, is worried about the customers. He's anxious to make all the contracted deliveries on time.
There's like literally probably 10 customers that are involved with this, but there's a lot of people waiting.
Compared to Buffalo's regular valley run, this 2-day, 2,700-kilometer round trip with stops in Norman Wells, Inuvik, and Holman Island will give the new engine a good break-in. The engine is certified for 1,500 hours of service.
Departure of C-46, depart at 02, enough to go right turnout.
But just minutes out of Yellowknife, Captain Devin Brooks spots a problem.
Oh, we got a hole in the plane. I don't know. Well,
we noticed that the right-hand engine, which is a brand-new engine, the oil quantity was steadily dropping.
And I just sort of started staring at the oil quantity gauge, and it continued to go down.
Sometimes new engines burn a little extra oil. But this was quite dramatic.
With the oil level dropping this fast, the new engine could have sprung a leak. And if it runs out of oil in flight, the engine will die.
Okay. I got it.
Devin and engineer Adam Smith head to the back of the plane to take a look.
Sure enough, right at the very trailing edge where the flaps are, you can see it, the oil sort of sparkle in the sun. We knew we had a problem.
If an engine runs out of oil, it's going to seize. It's just going to... and you're going to kill the engine.
A seized engine would force an emergency landing, and there's no proper strip in the vicinity, so it's something Devin wants to avoid at all costs.
It's still going down. Oh, Christ. It's 31 and a half right now.
But before making his next move, Devin needs some hard facts and figures.
Do the calculations, see how much oil we're losing for the next 5 minutes, and we'll make a decision.
Co-pilot Scott Blue calculates how much oil will be left in the tank when they get to their first stop. It's a critical bit of math.
We just lost half a gallon in 3 minutes.
My, oh my.
At that rate, we'll be down to 11 gallons by the time we get to the well.
C-46s need 11 to 12 gallons of oil to run. Anything below 11, you're just going to hurt the engine more and more.
Averaging about 12 gallons an hour, would it must be 1 or 2? This is going down to 30. We should just turn around. Walk the whole man.
It's Devitt's call, and now he has all the information he needs to make his decision. They're heading back to Buffalo.
Go ahead, TXW.
You can let maintenance know that the new engine on the right side has got an oil leak.
With many customers waiting, this is not the news Mikey wanted.
Rod or Cliff, call 200. Rod or Cliff, 200.
The C-46 makes a beeline for the Yellowknife Airport. The cause of the drastic oil loss is still a mystery. Plane touches down. Its right engine still leaking oil by the gallon. In the aviation industry, a plane on the ground is a money loser. Rod and his team need to get her back in the air ASAP.
We'll have to go through the oil lines, the front pump, everything, eh?
But even Rod, with all his experience, could find it tricky to diagnose this problem.
At this point, we're not sure, right? Take a look. Could be simple. Usually it is simple. Just how long it take you to find that simple thing.
Pretty smoky, eh?
Yeah. Theoretically, that engine should have been 100% good to go for 1,500 hours.
That don't look good.
You got to make sure that there isn't something stupid that happened. The pilots overfilled it or anything like that.
Hey, this is Mikey at Buffalo Airways. It's 20 after 11 here. We are running late with the aircraft.
Like his dad, Mikey likes to keep his far-flung customers happy. But now, he's in damage control mode.
I just wanted to let you know. Thank you. Bye.
Well, let's open the opener up.
On the tarmac, the maintenance crew examines the C-46's right engine.
Checked all the lines out, made sure they were all definitely going to the right spot. We took a couple off to see if it was still puking oil out.
Not a good sign.
They ran it a couple times.
Where do you think it is?
I think it's floor seal.
So do I. That's internal.
You're going to put a full engine off?
Forget it. Stop. It's done.
Brand new engine, 1.4 hours on it. The blower seals all went in it.
Somehow this engine had decided to inject huge amounts of oil into its air intake system.
Okay, she's pooched. Looks like we're going to have to unload it.
There's a couple of places down in the United States that overhaul the engines for us. They take them all apart, inspect everything, make sure it's within tolerances, and put it all back together.
Every part was either replaced, reboard, reground, or restored to original specs. But the overhaulers clearly missed the mark. The new right engine is a write-off. It will have to be sent back.
There was an internal problem in the engine, so there's nothing we can do with it. Get the other airplane running.
And that's when shit hit the fan.
This is the best we could do. I don't want to see it. We're shutting down. This is bullshit.
Buffalo's C-46 is grounded with one engine hemorrhaging oil.
It was about 3/4 of a gallon for every 5 minutes. That's a little excessive.
Now, they need to get the other C-46, known as AVO, ready right away to go on a two-day multi-stop cargo charter. But Chief Pilot Arnie Schrader has just discovered a major flaw with that plan.
Must not have been plugged in this thing, I guess.
Yeah.
In the winter months, when the temperature dips below minus 30, AVO is always plugged in to keep it warm and ready to go.
We all need it.
But somebody forgot to plug it in last night.
I'm a little upset that the airplane wasn't plugged in. I'll take responsibility for it. I should have asked the co-pilot. I should have asked maintenance. I should have asked operations. I just forgot about it.
And that leaves General Manager Mikey McBrien's carefully constructed delivery schedule in shambles.
That sucks. Oh, here comes the boss, too.
The boss, Mikey's father, Buffalo Joe McBrien, the sole owner of the company, and a man with a short fuse.
Why would we go out with a brand new engine? People wait for us, Bowman Island. Yoshi's on the airplane. We don't even have her backup plugged in. Well, I think I got 246s. So you guys better get your shit together today, because this is not going to be a good day, I can see that.
Well, it was going to be a good day. Now, not so good.
Every trip starts at 3 hours of maximum.
The crew wheels out portable Frostfighter heaters to warm up the plane.
Do we have extra gas for these? Because if these run out of gas, then we're in big trouble.
They want to defrost AVO as fast as possible so they can get it in the air.
Where's the rest of the crew?
But Joe knows they'll never defrost the plane in time with these weak heaters.
You cannot go at 30 below on Frostfighters.
I know that.
All you got to do is put water in your oil.
Yeah.
F*** up the engines.
Yep.
You got to blow the frost out of it.
Yes, I know.
You can't do it with a Frostfighter. Nobody will f***ing listen. This is the best we can do. I don't want to see it. This is bullshit.
I got like 7 quotes I got to get off right now.
Bring them all in. This is bullshit. This is going to continue.
Well, King North waiting for DC-4 stuff.
Because if we can't get that thing away, don't even think about tomorrow. There isn't even power going to the oil tanks in that airplane. There's nobody, but nobody watching them.
And
that's
going
to crash. Trust me.
Okay.
You want to go along with it? You want to push it to a breaking point? You're there. Hey, Rod, come here.
Joe's hit his breaking point, and he makes a decision.
There's no heat going to your engines. There's no heat going to your oil. It's at noon. So just shut them down until we get organized here, get some BT-400 so people know how to run them.
So Joe just made the executive decision. You're not going anywhere.
Decisions like this are how Buffalo Joe has run his airline safely for over 40 years in some of the most demanding conditions on the planet.
Hey, Mike. We're shutting down. Get him in here, Mike. Get him in my office right now.
Oh, no.
AVO won't fly until tomorrow when it's thawed.
I think you guys can...
But then Joe brings up a new issue. The right engine on the plane has been burning a lot more fuel than the left.
It has been burning 121 gallons on the right-hand engine per hour.
On a long-haul flight to the high Arctic where fuel is scarce, it's a major concern.
Yeah. This trip here, we got more max risk everywhere we're going.
Yeah.
The plane could literally run out of gas in the middle of nowhere.
You know, I just have to question the fact, if AVO wasn't good enough to go this morning, why is it good enough to go tomorrow morning?
He knows what can go on when you leave base. Now that he's a boss sending a bunch of younger guys out there, he knows there's not much fuel up in the Arctic anymore. At the end of the day, he's trying to make sure that we're okay.
That airplane, if it's going to go tomorrow, it's got to be managed and monitored by one person.
Well, because of the fuel burn, Joe wanted somebody to take responsibility. Someone back home, and Rod said he would. So we made the made the decision that I'd call him with the exact fuel burns from Yellowknife to Norman Wells.
The usual fuel burn for a C-46 engine in these conditions is about 100 gallons per hour. AVO's right engine is going through over 20% more.
Yeah, now, to get to Norman Wells tomorrow, burning 121 gallons an hour, we're going to turn the airplane back, aren't we?
It will be up to Devin to minimize the right engine's excessive fuel burn. If he can't, Rod will cut the trip short.
Oh!
Early the next morning, Devin and the crew get the C-46 fueled and ready. Last-minute cargo is added for the two-day run to the high Arctic.
Starts off as a normal valley run, go to Norman Wells, drop off supplies there.
Then, they'll head to Inuvik, the last chance they'll have to top up their fuel tanks. That fuel must get them to Holman Island on the Arctic coast and back home to Yellowknife. On this leg of the trip, Devin will keep adjusting the air gas mixture in the carburetor to minimize fuel consumption.
On the 46 carb, there's a mixture control, so you can rich in the carb or lean the carb out, depending on where you want it. If you put it in auto lean, it just does it all by itself.
But in manual mode, the mixture control functions like the choke on an old car. If the mixture is rich in gas, the engine runs well, but fuel efficiency suffers. And if the mixture is too lean, the engine can become starved for fuel, sputter, and die.
I pull it back another half an inch. The engine's gonna conk out.
Devin has to rely on the sound of the engine to keep it just on the edge of fuel starvation.
We had to get the absolute best fuel mileage we could out of it.
But if Devin can't reduce the right engine's fuel burn by the time they reach their first stop in Norman Wells, they'll be forced to abort the trip, leaving Mikey's far north customers high and dry. At the Norman Wells Airport, 700 kilometers north of Yellowknife, Buffalo's C-46 touches down. Now the crew will find out if Captain Devin Brooks has reduced the right engine's excessive fuel burn enough to allow them to continue their deliveries.
Jody's measuring how much fuel we burnt coming from Yellowknife to Norman Wells. So we burnt too much fuel, we can't go out north.
It's my job to go out on the wings and dip the tanks with the fuel stick. Put it into the tank, comes out, you can see on the gauge where the fuel line is, and you write it down, and that's how much fuel you have.
Favorite part of the job. Old ladders and old planes.
It all comes down to a line on the dipstick and co-pilot Scott Blue's math skills.
The aircraft has fuel gauges on the dash. That's for reference only. Anybody who ever believes a fuel gauge in an aircraft, any aircraft at any time, is gonna run out of fuel.
Let's see what the calculations are. If it's good, we go. No good, we're going home.
So roughly 110 gallons an hour. 110 and 100. All right, I'll be back.
Devin's done his part, managing to bring down the right engine's fuel consumption by over 10 gallons an hour.
It's time to call the bosses. We got our fuel burn a little bit lower, but now it's their call.
Good morning, this is Devin. Can you page Rod for me, please?
The decision on whether the trip can continue rests with Rod McBrien.
Hey, Devin.
We're in the Wells. Got some fuel burns for you.
Yeah.
Rod will decide if the plane will return home or risk continuing on to the high Arctic.
All right, we'll talk to you in a few hours. Take care. Bye. We're going.
Going to the Arctic. Yeah.
The cargo haul is a go.
You know, we're just glorified bus drivers, man. I mean, we do what we're told. We go where we're told to go with the planes.
Devin must still manually keep the fuel mixture as lean as he can to minimize the right engine's consumption.
Roger.
As they take off for Inuvik, he and his crew can only hope the fuel burn rate doesn't get worse. As the C-46 heads north, 1,700 kilometers east in remote Rankin Inlet, a very different kind of mission is underway. A Buffalo DC-3 is about to become a flying kennel.
Welcome to sunshine and... maybe not. Welcome to Rankin Inlet.
Justin Simley is the captain of this charter to haul dogs and mushers to the Arctic Winter Games in Grand Prairie, Alberta.
Then we'll get the dogs on and we'll put the hockey bags on top.
He's flying with co-pilot Sean Barry and flight attendant Audrey Marchand.
I was expecting something really small in the middle of nowhere. That's pretty much how it looks like.
The hamlet of Rankin Inlet is a mostly Inuit community with a growing population of 3,200 and about 1,000 dogs.
In the old days, every community, every family had a dog team. Everything that moved in the winter moved by dog sled.
Dog sled use goes back centuries, and tough, smart sled dogs were a source of pride to their musher. It wasn't until the 1970s that snowmobiles supplanted dog sleds as the primary mode of local transportation in the north. But in Rankin Inlet, dog sleds are still used for fun, and kids are taught the fine art of mushing at a young age. The tradition is now a sport.
You take any survival skill when it's no longer needed as a survival skill, eventually it becomes a hobby and then a sport for those that can afford it.
On the tarmac, the crew loads the three Rankin Inlet teams.
One, two.
Pretty nice. That's it.
That's it.
With all 22 dogs, sleds, gear, mushers, coaches, and chaperones on board, the DC-3 is loaded to the gills.
So you guys got everything?
We're not coming back.
If we're sure, we brought you guys down with this advantage.
Oh, that's awesome.
Great.
Planning
a
takeoff runway
31. We're on 405 rolling 200.
The DC-3 will travel 1,800 kilometers southwest to the Arctic Winter Games in Grand Prairie, Alberta, stopping halfway to refuel in Stony Rapids, Saskatchewan.
We're in Stony Rapids. Quick stop for fuel, oil, washroom.
Okay, just walk them over there.
The most urgent washroom break is for the dogs.
Atta girl.
Who have been cooped up in their kennels for hours.
We got another 4 hours to go, so I don't think they'll hold it that long.
Man, use it.
Work on that.
For 14-year-old musher Tristan Diaz and his dad Tony, the Arctic Winter Games have special significance.
This is my son's grandfather, my father-in-law, who kind of showed him the way of dog mushing, and he wants to keep up his tradition.
Tristan's grandfather, Robert Taddy, passed away just a few weeks ago. In the early 1980s, he was one of Rankin Inlet's first dog sled racers. A champion in his day, he helped turn mushing into a popular sport in the tiny hamlet. And he became Tristan's role model. Fueling up the DC-3, Audrey takes Tristan under, or rather onto, her wing.
Tristan is a really quiet kid. You kind of have to ask questions and get close to the kid, like to really know how he feels.
Tristan has only been racing for a couple of years, so making the Arctic Winter Games team would have made his grandfather proud.
His first Arctic Winter Games, so he's off to a good start.
That's it, that's it right here.
With the DC-3 refueled and the dogs relieved, Tristan and the rest of the Rankin Inlet mushers are off to the races. high Arctic, Captain Devin Brooks is piloting a Buffalo Airways C-46 on a two-day cargo charter.
Guy, pull it back another half an inch. The engine's gonna conk out.
The right engine has been using more fuel than it should, so Devin's had to manually control its fuel burn rate all the way.
Minimum power settings in descent, just to conserve fuel.
They're on approach to Inuvik, located just above the Arctic Circle.
That was 323, Roger.
Remember, it's uphill, so don't get too low right away.
Devin kept the C-46's right engine fuel burn under control on the flight from Norman Wells.
Hey, Captain. I am.
On tomorrow's flight to Holman Island, Devin will have some new limitations.
In Inuvik, we had a load of windows and doors to go to Holman Island. There was probably 20 windows, all varying sizes, and 20 doors.
What was the total weight? 6,000 or something?
Specially designed for the extreme temperatures of the Arctic, the quadruple pane windows are filled with insulating argon gas. Perfect for the chilly north. Not so perfect for air travel. At high altitudes, the argon gas expands.
If you fly above 10,000 feet, the window will crack and it'll be ruined.
Flying at high altitude helps conserve fuel. But it's a strategy Devin won't be able to use on their way to Holman Island tomorrow. And he won't be able to fuel up once he's there either.
The one good thing about Inuvik is you know there's always fuel there.
But not in Holman Island. So Scott fills the plane's 6 fuel tanks to the top. In northern Alberta, after flying over 1,700 kilometers, the DC-3 dog shuttle reaches its final destination.
Up at the Grand Prairie.
Yeah. I was quite impressed. The dogs were really quiet. I was not expecting that at all.
Scared.
Say hello to Smazzy.
Starting tomorrow, these teenage mushers will compete in the Arctic Winter Games.
You gonna kick some ass or what?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably, eh?
Thanks for the cool
display. Hey, thanks, man. That was fun. That was really cool. We'll do it again just in
the next. Yeah. The Buffalo crew won't be staying to watch the races, except for Audrey.
Aww.
She's made different plans.
I'm staying here by myself and enjoying the Arctic Winter Games and seeing the race with the mushers and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Dark and very early the next morning, the C-46 crew wakes up in Inuvik to begin day 2 of their high Arctic trip.
There was a conference going on in Inuvik at the time.
So they only had one hotel room available in the whole town. So we got a couple cots. Devin took the master bed. Yeah, he's pulling rank. I'm the captain. I get to have the good sleep.
This bed wasn't that good anyway.
Rising at this ungodly hour is tough on co-pilot Scott.
When Scott first gets up, it's like waking up a slumbering giant.
It can be a little groggy in the morning, but, you know, they're not fighting to get me out of bed or anything like that. I'm just sort of moving a little slower.
A little sleepy. Good. Friday champions. Breakfast champions.
He doesn't really wake up for the first about 2 hours, and he's just kind of in zombie mode.
They pack up and head to the airport.
You know, you try to prepare for as many issues as possible.
But you can't prepare for everything.
We are locked out. Inuvik Airport.
The airport isn't open yet.
This is the pace of the day.
Using his early morning zombie talents,
son of a bitch.
Scott finds a side entrance. Loaded with doors and windows, the C-46 waits in the cold on the tarmac. The plane was plugged in all night, but the crew still needs to put some heat on it before they start the engines.
22,
Anubic
Radio.
Yeah, PG3 is on Charlie, taxiing for runway 06 for flight plan, 5,500.
With the C-46 fuel tanks pumped full, they're headed for Holman Island and then back to Yellowknife.
It's quite a trip, about 900 nautical miles. It's just nerve-wracking because you're so far away from home.
Devin and his crew better be sure they'll have enough gas to make the delivery and still get all the way back home. Captain Devin Brooks and his C-46 crew are on the lookout for their destination, Holman Island.
It's hard to say.
To the untrained eye, it just looks like a bunch more snow and ice. When you're coming in over the ocean to do the approach, you fly probably 400 yards inland and then land on the strip.
I think that's the strip there.
The pilots are flying VFR, visual flight rules, with no modern technology other than GPS to help them identify the Holman runway or assist them in landing on the primitive strip.
Right now we're on our descent with our load of windows and doors. This is a runway I wouldn't want to come into it all the time.
Holman Island is an isolated Inuit community above the 70th parallel.
It's actually a really nice, beautiful place to come. It's just there's no one here and you're in the middle of nowhere.
Now the offload can begin, except for one problem.
They didn't have a forklift from Holman. It was just a big bucket loader.
That's a big bucket.
It's huge.
It's not ideal for unloading fragile windows, but it will have to do.
Well, we'll see if it's going to hold, if it holds my fat ass.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big puzzle and a big bucket.
A little bit of Arctic ingenuity. Get the job done.
Hey, you got me sweating for once.
The cargo unloaded, the crew starts thinking about getting home.
Scott's dipping the fuel tanks, checking out what we have in the tank, and then trying to decipher how far we can make it.
It's not good news. They had to fly at a lower altitude because they were hauling pressurized windows. So the flight here has burned up a lot of precious fuel.
Showed them exactly what we had, exactly what we were going through, exactly what I projected that we'd have back in Yellowknife.
That's all, for sure?
That's exact as I can get it.
I was worried when he gave me the calculations of gas for the right side.
And left side's fine.
Two drums on the right, we'd be laughing.
Because the right engine is burning more fuel, the right wing tanks now have 50 gallons less than the left.
I'm trying to get a hold of these guys. See how... Holman, there was no avgas, but there was another company in there that had a couple of its own drums. Just wondering if one of you guys could give me a lift into the hotel. I want to see if I can get a drum or two of fuel.
I got a fellow take me down to the hotel where the boys were staying.
Thanks, sir.
Beg for a drum of gas.
Sorry, guys. We'd like to just say take one. Our fuel cache is pretty tight as it is right now.
The drums of avgas are right beside the tarmac, but they're off limits to Devin.
In all honesty, if we had landed there at 10 or 11:30 at night and nobody was there, we probably just would have taken one, left a note.
Instead, Devin comes up with a new plan.
I'll crossfeed.
Crossfeed and tell me when to stop.
A crossfeed line allows Scott to move fuel from the left wing tanks to the right, so the thirstier right engine won't run dry in flight.
Well, it can't change the way it's burning, but you'll equalize the time in the air that you have available in each wing. So, yes, transferred a bit of fuel from one side to the other. It'll even things up a little.
With this clever maneuver, Devin may have bought some added flying time, and they'll need every second. It's over 900 kilometers from Holman Island to Yellowknife. and Devin will try to make it there on the avgas he still has left in the tanks. In Grand Prairie, Alberta, the Arctic Winter Games have begun. The juvenile dog mushing event is a time trial. 14-year-old Rankin Inlet musher Tristan Diaz will be relying heavily on his five dogs. And pulling the sled is programmed into their DNA.
They're a sprint dog. They'll do 50 miles in a day. They're very fast, very small. They've been bred for thousands of years for this, and that's what they know to do. You put a harness on one of these pups, they immediately start pulling, and they just love to do it.
1 minute. Tristan is racing in the memory of his grandfather, who inspired him to become a musher. His grandfather had wanted to be here, but passed away just weeks ago. Tristan's dad, Tony, is here rooting for his son.
To win any kind of medal would be an achievement for him, for sure. It would be great.
And Audrey is Tristan's newest cheerleader.
Good luck, Tristan. You can do it.
3, 2, 1. The start was good. He looked confident. He felt confident.
He was really calm.
Let's hope everything goes nice and smooth through the trail of the trees, and hope we see him come through this corner here real soon.
Tristan needs a very smooth ride to beat the posted best time of 6 minutes and 42 seconds.
Second team is leading. Gonna show up soon, gonna show up soon.
There he is. Push him, bud. Push him. Go.
All right.
There you go, Tristan. Okay,
there you go,
Tristan. You're flying, dude. Awesome.
Hey, congratulations, buddy. How was the race?
Good. Tristan's time is better than good. 7 minutes, 20 seconds. Fast enough to earn him a bronze medal and a place on the podium.
Awesome. Good for him, like third place. He was really happy. Really, really happy. I think he was a little proud too.
Meanwhile, in the high Arctic, the C-46 has been in the air for just over an hour. Now, Devin must make a critical decision about his route. He can detour from his flight plan and stop in the hamlet of Kugluktuk, where there's avgas available. But Devin would rather push on. The C-46 is needed back in Yellowknife for the Valley Run. His best chance of making it home without refueling is to climb to 11,000 feet, where the C-46 can fly faster.
I knew if we got up real high on the way home being empty, that we'd get a half-decent ground speed.
But before Devin burns fuel by climbing, he wants Scott to check his calculations again. He needs to be sure there'll be enough left in the tanks to get them all the way home.
There's a legal minimum amount of fuel you're required to have on board in case of emergencies, right?
The minimum reserve is only good for 30 minutes of flying, so Scott's calculations must be extremely precise.
The most accurate one you've ever did.
I will. You run out of gas, the engine shut down, you know, you're several thousand feet off the ground in something that weighs 20 tons with no power to stay in the air. It's just a giant glider. Check the numbers, double check the numbers, triple check the numbers. Okay, we get a nice push on the tail, we're good.
Let's take her up to 11,000 feet.
Devin's made his decision. They're going to bypass Kugluktuk and make a run for Yellowknife. Now, there's no turning back. It's a nail biter. 600 kilometers from Yellowknife, C-46 Captain Devin Brooks is trying to make it back home with very little fuel left in the tanks.
I got this thing running. Mostly on fumes.
The C-46 C-46's right engine is burning more gas than the left, making this final stretch nerve-wracking.
I think Devin was a lot more nervous about it. I don't think Scott's experienced enough to realize how nervous to be.
Devin's climbing to 11,000 feet where the plane can fly faster and burn less fuel.
Delta Company, radio.
They're out of radio range, but at Buffalo HQ, all eyes are on the GPS tracking system.
Just went up 800 feet.
Oh, he's climbing, okay.
So if he was coming straight home, that's a flight plan he might be taking?
Yeah. I think he's heading for Yellowknife is what I think he's doing right now.
We're up at 11,000 feet now. 9,500, which we usually cruise home at.
At this altitude, there's less drag, so they're flying 40 knots or 70 kilometers an hour faster, giving Devin better fuel efficiency, something he desperately needs.
Our ground speed was, I think, between 197 and 200 knots.
But Devin still has to keep his engines running extra lean to burn as little fuel as possible. Back at Buffalo, they're glued to the screen tracking the flight.
Yeah, most people go home and watch a hockey game. We watch the Super 6 fly around.
But this is no game. Devin's done everything he can to conserve fuel in order to make it home with the legal limit still in the tanks as reserve. Fortunately, they received a bit of help as well.
I think we'll be okay here. We had a pretty good tailwind the whole way home. Buffalo 324 is 5 miles back. Get a wind check, please.
Finally, after nearly 3 hours in the air, the Yellowknife Airport is a welcome sight.
Clear to land runway 15. Clear land 15, Buffalo 324. Been at 11,000 feet, doing 200 on ground speed all the way home. Home Delta Lot.
Yeah, that was a good call.
They touch down with the minimum reserve left in the tanks.
We're home. Yeah, it's a good thing Scott graduated from grade 10 there with some math.
Because of the winds aloft and the ground speed that we got, that enabled us to do it safely and get home with our reserves.
It was a tense flight, but Devin, Scott, and Adam pulled it off.
Yeah, I'm glad it's over. I think a cold beer will taste real good tonight.
After a rough start 3 days ago, the C-46 crew managed to deliver the cargo to the high Arctic and bring the plane home.
We had very close to what we projected left in the tanks when we got back to Yellowknife. Worked out beautiful.
On the next episode of Ice Pilots NWT, Buffalo tricks out a DC-3 with skis to land on a frozen lake, but the ice is melting by the minute. Kelly and Arnie get drastic makeovers, and Joe and Rod clash over how to run the business.
Think outside the box.
You've told me that for 10 years.